Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Our next guest, former Michigan State player, assistant coach, head coach for 12 seasons, athletic director, and member of the Board of Trustees, not all at the same time, George Perlis. Hello, George.
Hi, Jack. How you doing?
Well, just fine. I guess we're going to get the final announcement of what the Big Ten for the 21st century is going to look like in just a couple of minutes, a 7 o'clock announcement plan for this divisional setup. What's your take on this?
Well, I think it's pretty good that we have Michigan, Michigan State together. We'll have Iowa in there. We'll have in the other division, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin. So it's pretty evenly divided. I'm glad that we have an opportunity to stay with Michigan in our division. I think that it's too bad we're going to lose that game we Paterno and I started with Land Grant School trophy, and that'd probably be eliminated. But us playing Nebraska every year and Michigan every year, that's going to be quite a challenge.
What about the way these games have been set, George? We heard that Michigan and Ohio State were going to play earlier in the season, and Michigan and Michigan State might play the last game of the year. Then we heard, no, Michigan, Ohio State were still wanting to play the last game of the year, but then Michigan State might not have the Penn State rivalry. What's ahead for Michigan State in the last game of the season?
Well, it'd be nice to have the Michigan State play Michigan the last game of the season. It looks to me like the commissioner and the people making the decisions have felt like Michigan versus Ohio State the last game of the year would be a super game. But times have changed. That's not the case anymore. It's not the case that Michigan will be in that area anymore. They're struggling where they are right now. So,
what would it be like for Michigan and Michigan State to play the last game of the year? George, you remember when Michigan-Michigan State was the first game of the year.
Right, we used to do that, play it real early, and then have the other ones later in the year. And then we played Michigan every first game, third game, last game. The Michigan-Michigan State game is a natural. It ought to be a great game, the last game of the year. And my idea, if I were AD or if I were a commissioner, I would find a way to have a bye between the Michigan-Michigan State game and Ohio State-Michigan game. I would find a way to make those things happen because they're traditional big-time games. And anytime you're doing something, you want to know what you want to accomplish at the end and then make it work.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I had a discussion with Jim Tressel about this not too long ago, and he was complaining that he didn't want to play the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And he said that he thought the game should be completed before then, and it was brought up that, yeah, that leaves an awful long time between the end of the season and the bowl games. And we came up with an idea, exactly as you say, to have a bye and have everyone take a week off there and then come back and play the Saturday after that, and then you could still have your conference championship game, and you'd have about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, before you would get into bowl games, but the Big Ten wouldn't be ending on November 20th. It'd be finishing around December 10th.
That's great. That's a good idea. I agree with 100%. And that's what they might think about doing. But they certainly don't have my input.
How much does it mean to you that the Michigan State-Penn State rivalry continue in some form? Obviously, the land-grant trophy, the relationship with the two state schools, the two land-grant schools, and your relationship with Joe Paterno. dating back to the first games, the first year of the Big Ten in 1993.
Well, Joe and I are very, very close friends, and we have two great universities. Land Grant is something special to us and Penn State, and I would love to see us reunite that game and play it near the end of the season, but always have it based on the Land Grant Trophy. I don't think that's going to be a problem. If Joe wants a Land Grant Trophy, Joe will get a Land Grant Trophy.
George, if they're going to have Michigan and Ohio State in different divisions, but still have that be a protected rivalry where they're still going to play every year, why couldn't Michigan State and Penn State play every year if they're in opposite divisions?
That's a good question. I agree with you. And those are the things that will come out after tonight when it's all in the public. Those are the kind of questions that people are going to ask, and I'll be right up to bat the first one to ask it.
George, the other idea that we've been kicking around here is with these divisions, it is possible. We've seen Wisconsin and Iowa come up from where they were 20 and 30 years ago. We've seen Michigan drop dramatically from where it was just 3 years ago. And it's almost impossible to predict how teams are going to do. It is possible with this new alignment that you could have the top three teams in the league finish in the same division, and you could have a team that was maybe 7-5 or 8-4 be the best in the other division. Why have divisions at all? Why not just schedule it out and say the top two teams will meet in the conference championship game?
Good idea. Very good idea. That's why, Jack, you ought to consider being commissioner.
They haven't asked me, George.
Well, you'd be a good one.
Well, in terms of what this means and how it affects the Big Ten in a lot of other ways, including geography and the traditional rivalries and the bowl games, does this do anything that impacts the Big Ten's bowl presence?
Well, it could. We'll wait and see. But again, Jack, you've got some great ideas, and you're right on the money. I agree with you on most of them. But we need to motivate the commissioner to listen to more than one program.
Yeah.
They're coming up pretty early with this, and it's been thought after, and it's been done in a reasonable amount of time, but not long enough.
Yeah, George, I think that a lot of people think that certain schools have more say or more power or more influence. And I've heard that from supervisors of officials. I've heard it from people who used to work in the conference. And once again, maybe certain schools weighing in here and getting what's favorable for them.
Well, you're right. I remember as athletic director when we had our meetings that I always asked them to have one day during our meetings that we would have a chance to only have the football coaches in the meeting. I asked the commissioner to leave, his assistants to leave, and we got some things done.
Mm-hmm.
We need a lot of input from the coaches that have their reputation and their profession on the line, and we need that, and we need that with the athletic directors. We install a lot of power into our commissioner. He's a good man, but he could use some help.
How much input have the presidents had? How much input have the athletic directors have? And how much knowledge do the trustees have of what's going on?
Well, the trustees, we don't have any power as far as athletics go, except at Michigan State University, we're responsible for the hiring and firing
right.
of head football coach, head basketball coach, the head hockey coach, and the women's basketball, and the athletic director. Those are our responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it goes down to the athletic director and his position. And we've got a good one here in Mark Hollis.
Mm-hmm.
Mark is doing a super job, but we need some... And the presidents, they have thing. Our president just happens to be active in athletics most of March. And what we need is some help in getting some things done from a group of presidents that will put their trust in the athletic directors, the people that know the business.
George, you've been around a long time. You have watched the Big Ten grow, change, adapt, adjust. Did you ever think that we'd be in a situation where Wisconsin and Iowa were top 10 programs, and thinking back to what it was like when they both had the big droughts, and Michigan would be struggling to be bowl eligible?
No, that's beyond me. The Michigan thing is really, you know, what a great time to be head coach of Michigan State. Mark D'Antonio is a good man, but you got your two biggest rivalries, Michigan and Notre Dame. They both have problems, and he'll take advantage of it. I expect us to have a good year this year because of the ability our kids are going to have and the kind of leadership they're going to get from our head football coach. But I would never, never, never thought that Michigan would be as bad shape as they are right now. In my opinion, that won't last long.
Right.
I'll catch hell for this, but here's my prediction.
Okay.
That after this season, Harbaugh will be over there, and then when you get people back there that remember Bowl and talk about Bowl and motivate the Schembecker situation, that's when they'll get back on base. Until that time, they're going to be just another club.
Well, a lot of people said that it would be very difficult for Michigan State and Illinois and Purdue to beat Michigan on a regular basis 2 years in a row, but a little help with Michigan beating itself and going against what some people consider to be the Michigan way has certainly opened the door for a lot of other schools.
Well, it has. It has. You can't go to Michigan without promoting Bo and talking about Bo. And I mean, Bo was a great one. I mean, one of the greatest of all time. He was a close friend, and he did things right, and he built that program. Him and Canham, they did things that were outstanding. And so I think it's just a matter of time before they get back on the right track.
When we talk about a matter of time, last question, George. In your fifth year, Michigan State went to the Rose Bowl. In Nick Saban's fifth year, Michigan State won 10 football games and beat Florida in a bowl game in Orlando. We're at 4 years now for Mark D'Antonio. Do you see similar progress? Is there a certain number of games you see the Spartans winning this year?
Yeah, I do. I see that, and I hope it, because I really like Mark, and I think he's doing it. I think a great compliment he has is if you had a son, you'd like him playing for him. He's a good man. But I told him when they asked me after a couple of years, I said, give me 5 years and I'll then go and evaluate me. Well, we won the Rose Bowl in 5 years and so on. They said, George, you're a prophet. I said, prophet? Are you crazy? I was just asking for enough time to get all our kids in there, and that's what Mark needs.
George Perlis, a member of the Michigan State University Board of Trustees, former head football coach, athletic director, you name it. George, thanks so much for being with us.
Jack, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back. Our final segment of Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.